Good morning. This is Long Island Morning Edition on 88.3 WLIW FM, heard across the East End on 96.9 FM in Central and Western Suffolk. I'm Michael Mackey. Across Long Island, British expats, business owners, religious leaders, and everyday citizens mourn England's Queen Elizabeth II as a pillar of stability and decency through decades of social, economic, religious, and racial unrest. Barbara Hendry, originally of Belport, Long Island, recalled the day in 2010 when the Queen pinned a medal on her during an investiture ceremony at Buckingham Palace. At the time, Hendry was a senior civil service officer in the British government's Department for International Development. As quoted in Newsday, "I remember her dignity and the sense of being in awe of someone who devoted their life to service and kept faith with that in a consummately professional way," said Hendry, who serves as director for the North America Office of the United Nations Environment Program. "The symbolic responsibility she carried on her shoulders was immense, but she never let it show. She was unfailingly courteous and managed to stay on her feet for several hours on end," said Hendry. Queen Elizabeth visited New York three times during her 70-year tenure, although she does not appear to have set foot on Long Island. She first visited in 1957 with her husband Prince Philip, who died in 2021 at age 99. She was taking in the Empire State Building and Statue of Liberty in 57. The Queen would return in 1976 for the nation's bicentennial celebration, stopping for lunch at the Waldorf Astoria, tea at the Morris Jumel Mansion in Washington Heights, and then she returned in 2010, addressing the United Nations and placing a wreath at the Ground Zero. With the death of Britain's Queen Elizabeth II, Bishop Lawrence Provenzano, head of the Episcopal Diocese of Long Island, says the world has lost a critical role model. As quoted in Newsday, "It's the passing of an individual who for more than 70 years represented an expression of loyalty, grace, service that was exemplary to Anglicans worldwide," Provenzano said. The Episcopal Church in the United States is part of the Anglican Communion, but operates independently of it, he said. The Queen, or King, appoints the head of the Anglican Communion, the Archbishop of Canterbury. The Anglican Communion is the second largest body of Christians in the world, with 85 million followers. Provenzano attended a church conference in England this summer that brought together 650 Anglican bishops. "We were all aware of the fact that when the next conference happens, she would no longer be the Queen," he said. Long Island business owners with British roots far from home in a country without a sense of a monarchy's meaning struggled to absorb news of the Queen's passing. Glenn Treacher, whose family owns Robinson's Tea Room, a British inn and restaurant in Stony Brook, said while Brits knew this day was coming, the news hit hard just the same. "It was expected, but it's still a shock," said Treacher, who was born in Wales. "The Queen was pretty well loved by everyone." Harborfest, a post-Labor Day tradition in Sag Harbor now, returns to the village waterfront this weekend. Stephen J. Coates reports on 27East.com that most of the events of the annual fall festival, sponsored by the Sag Harbor Chamber of Commerce, will take place on Long Wharf and in John Steinbeck Waterfront Park from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on both Saturday and Sunday, with whaleboat races, a petting zoo for children, and a Saturday evening concert among the highlights. "We are very excited that this year's festival is expanding to Steinbeck Park," said Ellen DeGuarty, the president of the Sag Harbor Chamber of Commerce. "We've moved some of the children's activities to the spacious waterfront park, including pony rides and a petting zoo. For more information on up-to-minute schedule of events, visit sagharborchamber.com. The Flanders Northampton Volunteer Ambulance Corps, FNVA, is receiving backlash from residents in its service area who say they are being improperly billed by the Ambulance Corps' third-party billing company. But the ambulance chief said the issue can be easily resolved and that residents of the district do not have to pay for the service. Alec Lewis reports on RiverheadLocal.com that members of FNVA discussed the problem during the Flanders Riverside and Northampton Community Association Commission meeting Tuesday evening, where residents complained about being billed for ambulance services. Flanders Northampton Volunteer Ambulance Corps Chief Mark Dunleavy said the Corps started third-party billing to collect revenue for the district from insurance providers. Quote, "It's successful, generates a decent amount of revenue to help offset the taxpayers for our annual budget," he said. The third-party billing company, Professional Ambulance Billing of Williamsville, New York, bills people's insurance after an ambulance ride to the hospital, he said. If residents do not have insurance or their insurance company did not cover the whole cost, they do not have to pay the balance because they are already taxpayers in the ambulance district, he said. Dunleavy said residents should call the ambulance corps if they keep receiving bills from the billing company so FNVA can communicate with the company and tell them to waive the rest of the cost. He said there is no legal way for the third-party billing service to only bill non-residents, and communication with the FNVA is the best solution to the problem. But Lisa Gould said she received bills for 5 months for her husband's ambulance ride. She knew not to pay because she worked in hospital billing, but she said others just don't have the same knowledge in the Flanders area. Some Suffolk County government websites and email addresses were taken down last night to assess a possible cyber intrusion, county officials said. Vera Chinesi reports on Newsday.com that Mary Kate Guilfoyle, a spokeswoman for Suffolk County Executive Steve Ballone, said in a statement that Suffolk County was coordinating with the New York State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Services Cyber Incident Response Team and other law enforcement agencies on the matter. Some county websites were not accessible, and emails sent to county email addresses were being bounced back Thursday evening. The systems will remain offline while we verify and assess the ongoing situation, Guilfoyle said. Critical public safety functions, such as 911, however, will be maintained, she said. County officials could not say if any data had been breached or if the county had experienced a ransomware attack. On Long Island, municipalities and school districts have been victims of such attacks. The attacks can expose personal information and cost money to repair technology and possibly pay a ransom to retrieve stolen data. The developers of South Fork Wind will hold a virtual open house this coming Monday, September 12th, to walk East Hampton residents through the final and most technical phase of the installation of the onshore sections of the wind farm's power cable, work that will start this fall and run through the winter. Michael Wright reports on 27east.com that those who wish to participate in the live event, which will start at 6 p.m. this coming Monday, can register at southforkwindvirtual.com. That's southforkwindvirtual.com. The primary component of the work will commence in early October, the drilling of the conduit tunnel beneath the ocean beach and the Atlantic seafloor. The turbines themselves are to be constructed starting next spring, and the wind farm is forecast to come online at the end of 2023. Long Island shoppers looking for lower prices, along with increased online grocery shopping and growing interest in specialty ethnic foods, all mean consumers are spreading their dollars across more places, experts say. That's putting the squeeze on traditional supermarkets, and Long Islanders are not alone. Tori N. Parrish reports on Newsday.com that today, 61% of American shoppers use non-traditional stores, such as discount grocers, wholesale clubs, and supercenters like Walmart and Target, for their primary grocery shopping, compared with less than 20% 20 years ago, according to Salomon Partners, a financial services company in Manhattan. The average American household shops for food weekly at five different retailers, including drugstores, dollar stores, and online, according to the firm. For retailers, the stakes are high. Long Islanders spent $11.4 billion on groceries in the past 12 months, according to a June report from Food Trade News, a Columbia, Maryland-based trade publication. The number of grocery stores on Long Island is shrinking, led mostly by a loss of traditional supermarkets from events including the 2015 closure of 51 Walbaum's and Pathmark stores after their parent company filed for bankruptcy. Some were scooped up by competitors, the sale of Best Market, and the bankruptcy of Fairway Market. At the same time, the number of limited assortment discount grocery stores like Lidl and Aldi, non-traditional grocery sellers such as Dollar General, Apparel, Costco, and BJ's Wholesale Club is growing. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.